Liberty.com.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome to hour number three. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson of our coverage. Day two of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover, the Hyatt Regency Winfrey Hotel. As we've been talking about this the first 2 days, too, big, big thanks to our sponsors for making it possible for us to be here all week, including real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Picasso Auto, Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, along with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, back in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, Crazy Charlie Sonia making sure today runs very nice and smooth. Speaking of the Goggin Cole Hall, remember, they're the coldest team in town. If you would like to learn more information how you can join their team, check out their website, GogginCold.com. A lot more to get to today. We had a huge day as far as this morning, visiting with a full spectrum of broadcasters, players, and more. One of the individuals we had a chance to catch up with, we see him and visit with him every year. This is my 12th year of covering the SEC Media Days, broadcasting from here. And the ironic part is the fact that Matt Stinchcomb, the 12th year that he has represented the Allstate AFCA good hands, good works people, I should say, as far as in looking at college athletes, not just what they do and the impact that they make on football fields. We're talking about the impacts and the touchdowns that they make in the communities by giving back. He's also an analyst with the SEC Network as well. Here was our visit with Matt Stinchcomb. Matt, you're here. We were just talking. 2008 was the first time you represented the Allstate Good Works team. And the funny thing is, I was joking that it's not called the Good Hands team because you're an offensive lineman. I don't know how that would work out for you.
If I had good hands, well, and I was faster and could jump and do other things, I wouldn't have played offensive line. I would love it if it was just because I didn't have great hands that's why I wouldn't play like receiver.
I was getting ready to say, when you played football, that'd be like, what's a defensive back? A wide receiver that can't catch.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's what I was.
That's not the case anymore. I don't want to offend any Titans secondary members or anything.
That's not that different, right? I mean, let's be real. I mean, the DBs, you'd rather have a guy that's a game-changing talent at receiver than a DB, right? Yeah. I would.
But see, you're looking at it from an offensive standpoint.
I guess. I mean, they always say, we'll just erase one side of the field. And you just think, how many of those guys are there out there?
I was thinking about this year, and I was breaking down the difference between an average team and a bad team, probably a handful of plays. Same thing can be said about the other side of that spectrum. The difference between a great team and a championship team, handful of plays that are out there. How, as a team, throughout the season, do you make those extra plays that you need to get done?
I think championship teams do a great job of practicing the way that they play. What is it? Practice makes perfect?
That's what they say.
Well, the really good teams say perfect practice makes perfect. And they want to compete during the week, and they want it to look like what they want it to look like on game day. This isn't like, hey, let's go in there and let's see if we can't knock off some of these rough edges. It's every day should be a polished day. Every day should be out there and you're going, look, we're going to grind, and we want it to look like the way we want it to look on Saturday. There's not a lot of teams that can do it that way, though. And it's a depth issue, I think, a lot of times. Not just a capability standpoint, but just can we afford to practice in the way that we need to so that on game day it's almost easier than it was on Tuesday. The bloody Tuesdays that are on college campuses
right
across this nation every fall, those things are going by the wayside. It's not just because of spread offenses and tempo and all this other junk. I'm convinced anyway, it's because of the way the rosters are built and the fact that you just don't have the bodies to throw at it anymore.
When you start looking at how the potential for teams with an upcoming season, the way I look at it first, I look at returning starters on offense as far as offensive line and the returning starters on the defensive front. Now, just because you're a returning starter doesn't mean you're good, but it certainly helps, obviously. But, you know, as a former two-time All-American, you know, you understand quarterbacks. They get the praise, running backs, wide receivers, even the defensive players, where they can accumulate tackles. Where is the reward mentally as an offensive lineman?
Well, you know, we always are evaluated by proxy, which I think is not necessarily inappropriate. So if you look at a box score and they'll say, oh, my goodness, look at all these sacks that were afforded, or they didn't rush the football very well. Well, I can tell you that out of context, that could say that the offensive line played poorly that day. It could also say that maybe the quarterback was holding the ball too long.
Right.
Maybe the running back just flat out couldn't find the hole. Maybe you're playing with your third string guy. Maybe you're facing one of the better defensive fronts in the country and your best wide receiver went down. Good luck throwing the football, and even worse, good luck running the football. So because of that, the praise, the recognition has to come from the offensive line room. And if that's not enough for you, then you're playing the wrong position. You know, the guys that you're playing with, if they recognize the type of performance you put together, then that's all that really matters.
14 schools in the SEC, 9 quarterbacks this week representing the 14 schools. I bring it up because when you go from the high school ranks to the college level to the NFL, you know, oftentimes when you see a quarterback misfire at a wide receiver, you just assume, oh, wow, the quarterback's just off today, right? There's so many things that go into it, and as you advance to the college level and then on to the NFL level, you know, decisions that wide receivers have to make, everybody has to be on the same page. A lot of times that gets missed by the casual fan watching on television.
Yes, yep, yep. And, you know, in doing games, I typically will hedge before I assign blame, like in the event of like an interception or something.
Right.
Everybody's going, what is he looking at? And it could be just horrible. You know, hit a DB right in the chest. I can remember at the end of a game, it's 2012, Hugh Freeze, head coach, Ole Miss, first year. They're going to make it to bowl eligibility. They end up finishing the season 6-6. I can't remember who they were playing. I wish I could. Bo Wallace throws an interception right before halftime. And you're looking at it, it's bad. It looked bad. They were driving. They could have gone in to score. Throw a pick. And Hugh Freeze, the sideline reporter at the time, did a great job, asked a fantastic question. I believe it was Allison Williams, and her question was, hey, what happened right there, that last play of the half? And he puts it on the wide receiver. He said the receiver's supposed to stem his route, Bo threw the ball in the right spot. He just didn't – the receiver didn't break the way he was supposed to. Well, everyone in the stadium, including the guy in the booth, is sitting there going, what is Bo Wallace doing? Because it was good Bo, bad Bo. That was kind of the thing back then, right?
And that was tough for him to live through, because that went on for 3 years, it seemed like.
Oh, bless him, man. That, I don't think that program appreciates Bo Wallace the way that they should, right? The kid was a gamer. And, yeah, he made some boneheaded mistakes. More games are lost by quarterbacks than are won by quarterbacks. And I think he got his fair share, maybe more than his fair share of wins because of him than losses because of him. But he anyway, it would have been easy to assign blame in that environment or in that context. And Hugh Freeze was quick to point out, hey, man, it's not on the quarterback right there. It was a receiver, blew it. Point being, it's a battery. You know, it's a complementary position. You can be the best passer in the country. If you don't have anybody to throw to or receivers that can catch or run routes, I don't care. It's just not going to matter. You'll look good and pat and go, and then when it actually matters, it's not going to materialize on the scoreboard and certainly not in the down and distance.
Matt, as an analyst, I mean, for me, when I'm watching a football game, when we talk about plays like that, whether the quarterback and wide receiver misfire, a linebacker and the strong safety out of place, whatever, I'm also watching on the sidelines as they come off and watching the body language, not being upset at what just transpired, but they're all, you know, during the course of a game. That's why coaches yell, use all kinds of salty language. But the players are in those situations too, and it's all self-correcting so they don't make the same mistake next drive, whatever the case may be. And a lot of times then you can see, okay, what went wrong by just the body language, the corrections that are being made in between drives.
Yeah, you can tell, I think, and coaches know how to push buttons. The quarterback is the guy that you have to make sure has got his head on straight. And sometimes he needs to get chewed, right? Sometimes he needs to get ear-holed a little bit by the head coach. And then other times he needs to be propped up. I'll say that I think among the coaches – in this conference, you know, one of those, one of the guys that in game can manage that the best is Dan Mullen. Watching him and how he interacts with his quarterbacks, his players in general, I think he just does a great job. He's kind of goofy. They caught him last year, what was it, kind of half dancing with Felipe Franks on the sidelines. But it was just enough, right, to just give the kid some levity. It was an early season game. Might have been their opener, I think. And he's just like, hey, man, just have a little fun with this, would you? That's important. That quarterback is a tone setter. He's a de facto leader, whether he has it in him or not. That position says that everyone's going to be looking to you and that head coach, and oftentimes in today's game, he's also the play caller. He's got to make sure that quarterback's got his head in it.
There's a lot of fired up fan bases throughout the college football landscape. 130 teams. They're not all the same, obviously. When I'm thinking about fan bases at the college level in the NFL, I don't know how many former players can match your pedigree. I mean, you played at Georgia. You get drafted by the Raiders. What is that experience like playing for fans like that?
The Raiders are separate and apart from every fan base, I think, maybe in the history of sports. Because of they almost, I think, you're playing for them. And if they don't like the way things are going, then it's within their purview to completely turn on you. And we thankfully didn't see that a whole lot. But those folks are passionate, and some of them look like that if they wanted to exact some type of change from a bodily harm standpoint, they could. some of them look like they maybe have done a little bit of time. It's an interesting fan base. It's hard to draw an analogy to any other fan base when you include the Oakland Raiders. I think that they get their own little column on the spreadsheet, and then everybody else is somewhat similar. Kansas City, you know, it's a college-like environment, college game day type environment from the SEC standpoint. Green Bay, kind of similar in that regard.
But they're all owners too.
That's a good point.
Yes.
The fans are interested because they've got an investment.
That's right.
But otherwise, you know, you don't see it a lot where, you know, Denver had a really passionate fan base, but it wasn't like a college-like setting, you know. It's different in college. It just is. I think, you know, with the pros, you can be from, say, Atlanta, okay, or Nashville, and you're a Titans fan. You live in Nashville. Did you grow up in Nashville? Did you grow up a Titans fan? No, you didn't. The Titans hadn't been there long enough for you to really be a Titans fan and be able to afford season tickets at the same time. So the idea that you could actually attend a college – I think just lends itself to be a little bit more passionate. There's a reason to want to go onto a college campus than there is to hang out in a parking deck outside of an NFL stadium.
In your role as an analyst, whether you're a former player, former coach, it's a line that you have to walk. You want to be fair, but at the same time, do you think back as a player how you would like to be somebody talking about your performance? How do you go into it as an analyst? How do you remove yourself as a former player?
As far as just objectivity.
Way, yes, exactly.
I think there's a lot of ways that you can say things and still be honest. And by that, I mean you can be critical of, or you could also be praising a player, a coach, a performance without being effusive and I think without being degrading on the other side. And some things warrant that. Some things warrant I think more pointed commentary, but not a lot. There's not a lot. And I do think that, you know, especially in game when you're watching it, look, it's real simple. It's either good or it was bad. They either won or they lost. It either worked or it didn't. But there's ways that you can communicate that where it doesn't have to be, what an idiot play. I mean, what is this kid thinking? What a moron. Or is it, gosh, that's a mistake you just can't make right there. And you have to wonder what's going through his head. And so I think you got to recognize, look, these are kids. Even if they're 22 years old, you're in a college environment. You're not an adult.
Right.
You're not living in the real world. They are supposed to perform at a really high level. These coaches are paid a lot of money. All that stuff, right? The officials. The officials are the only guys that are on the field that are getting paid. And at the same time, that's a really tough job. It's tougher than it's ever been. I don't care how many officials they put on the field. Add a center judge, add a side judge, or add another one, right? A middle judge. What else do we need? It's still one of the toughest jobs. you got to be respectful. You got to respect the game, see it the way you see it, but you also got to be respectful of the people that are actually out there trying to carry it out to the best of their ability. Nobody goes out there and tries to screw up.
Let's get to why we're here and why we have been talking since 2008. College football is great. The fact that over the 4 days here, 42 leaders on the campuses that they're representing are here this week as far as for SEC football media days. And between that and why you're here with the All-State AFCA Good Works team, I don't think enough attention, enough lights are shown on what these individuals do and the impact that they have in their communities.
Well, and in Allstate and in folks like you all and everyone on Radio Row are really helpful in getting the recognition for being named to the National Good Works team and what it should all be about. So the AFCA, American Football Coaches Association, that's everybody. And that includes even high school ranks. Now, this team is just for college football, but every division of college football, not just FBS level, but all the other levels as well. And when you think about the contributions that are being made by these players, and I'm not talking about on the field, although there's a lot of household names. Jake Fromm is a nominee. He's probably going to make this team. Trey Smith at Tennessee, who I pray will be able to play football this year because he's such a talented kid.
Right.
He's going to be on this team. He's going to make the National Good Works team. I'm just predicting. Not just because I'm on the selection committee, I'm just one vote, but because of the type of kid that he is and what he's been doing and the type of kid that Jake Fromm is and Derek Brown and countless others, Landon Young for Kentucky. Not only are they household names, Trey Smith is a first-round draft pick if he's healthy. Jake Fromm, they're talking about, might be one of the top players taken in the draft coming out of this season, which you're thinking up until then you thought maybe he was a four-year type of a player. He's a great kid. And he's realizing that he can use college football to impact others in a really positive way. He can leverage that. He can use it as a platform. And that's what this team is all about. And the point of it is not only to give them the recognition, but to heighten the profile of the recognition so that people realize this is the premier achievement that you can make as a college football player. There's been a lot of great guys that can block, run, tackle, catch, throw. But how have they use that opportunity as a college football player to impact people in ways that will last way longer than their 4 years of eligibility.
As a player, you impacted the community, and I think this it goes and it's worth saying, you know, a lot of conferences playing football across the country in this footprint, the SEC footprint, not just outstanding players on the field, but they have been throughout the years of this team each and every year so heavily involved in the community.
72 guys have been named to this National Good Works team. That's more than any other conference. And, you know, there's a lot to crow about, a lot to be proud of around the SEC and other places in the country and conferences, I think, lament that fact that the SEC is proud of itself. I think that is among the crowning achievements outside of the championships is the fact that they've had more players from their teams they're playing college football, named to this team than any other conference.
Before we let you go, remind the listeners where they can see you this fall.
I'll be on the SEC Network calling games on Saturday. Same crew, really excited to be back with those guys. Alyssa Lang's going to be on the sidelines for us. Fans will know her from her SEC Network work. She does a great job. And then we'll do the SEC film room, sitting down with these coaches to there's no sense in listening to an analyst guess on what was supposed to happen when you can actually talk to the guy who knows exactly what was supposed to happen.
Matt, always a pleasure, buddy.
Man, I appreciate it.
Matt Stenchcomb, once again, analyst with the SEC Network, two-time All-American at Georgia, former first-round draft pick by the Raiders, and more. It's fun. You know, here's the thing. Over the 4 days, you're going to get a taste of everything. Yeah, it'll be easy to break down who's going to win the West, who's going to be the East. But over the 4 days, over the 12 years of covering the SEC football media days, I like to paint a portrait, per se, of the full landscape of the impact of college football, especially this year when we're talking about the celebration coming up in the fall, 150th anniversary of college football. So you get a little bit of everything. You get what happens on the field, but you also get, like in the case of visiting with Matt, who was a member of the All-State AFCA Good Works team back in the day as a player. He knows what it means to represent his school, his team in the community, and certainly when you think about the SEC, the numbers don't lie. The number of former players now from the SEC that impact the community, and we see it constantly with all 14 schools. We still have more time to go. We will be with you until 6:55 tonight when we turn things over to the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. Game two of this series with the Milwaukee Brewers. Last night it was a win for the Braves, five straight now, and we'll see if they can make it six tonight. Once again, first pitch at 7:10. But pregame coverage getting underway at 6:55. Hey, coming up on the other side, this was a fun interview because how many guests can you have that can you can throw out and said, oh, by the way, as a baby, as a kid, I'm actually was held by a future Hall of Famer, and in this case, Randy Moss with the Minnesota Vikings. Why does that kind of come into play? Well, because our next guest will be on the other side, Georgia safety, J.R. Reed. His dad, Jake Reed, former wide receiver in the NFL and certainly was a former teammate as well with Randy Moss. We'll hear from J.R. Reed on the other side and talk about the prospects for the Georgia Bulldogs. Certainly expectations are high. That's coming up as our coverage day two of the SEC Football Media Days continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still quite a bit of traffic now on 40 East trying to get out past the airport as you continue into Hermitage, Donelson, 40 westbound in that area there near Briley. They're in the clearing stages of that accident. Traffic still very busy right now on 65 making your way south of Nashville back down into Williamson County. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fares can save you up to 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2544. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports, there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
And now, Higher Calling Tree Services is reminding drivers to slow down in residential neighborhoods and school zones. Kids will be kids, and they're never mindful of dangerous traffic hazards. Let's celebrate responsibly. Think before you drink, and never drink and drive. This tip is from Higher Calling Tree Services, the tree expert backed by three decades of experience. Call today at 615-568-6928. That's 615-568-6928. Higher Calling Tree Services, where they care about the safety of kids and the community.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson. We're in the home stretch of day two of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days from Radio Row, Hyatt Regency, Winfrey Hotel here in Hoover, and back in the Goggin Kohl studios, Crazy Charlie Sanye. You know, over the first 2 days, 21 interviews and counting to this point, and expecting a lot more tomorrow and Thursday. I mean, today's a roster that we've already had a chance to share with you. Brad Nessler, the play-by-play voice of the SEC on CBS. Bill Hancock, executive director of the College Football Playoffs. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. And we've also heard in the 5 o'clock hour from Tennessee linebacker Daniel Batuli, along with Ole Miss offensive tackle Alex Givens. Both of those individuals from the city of Nashville. We'll hear from the third one from Nashville coming up on Thursday, when the Vanderbilt Commodores are part of the teams that will be a part of the SEC Football Media Days. One of the other teams featured today, the Georgia Bulldogs, a program over the last 2 years averaging 12 wins per season over the last 2 years, 24 total wins, including 11-3 campaign. You look at what happened two seasons ago with Georgia losing in overtime in that national title game. Last year, certainly had their opportunities, had the lead against Alabama in the SEC title game, and after scoring early in the third quarter, failed to score the rest of the way, and was Alabama in the inside of the college football playoff with Georgia on the outside, and certainly this entire Bulldogs team wanting to change that script in 2019. One of the players that we had a chance to visit with earlier today, and this was fun too, because his dad played in the NFL, a former teammate with Randy Moss with the Minnesota Vikings. So Jake Reed, who I'm referring to, a former wide receiver. Well, his son, a defensive back, safety. He started the last 2 years at safety for the Georgia Bulldogs, and wanted to visit with him, talk about that experience, but also looking ahead to the 2019 campaign as well. Here was my chat with Georgia safety J.R. Reed. All right, JR, before I start thinking about 2019 and on the actual football field, I have to ask you, how often do you go around and say, hey, by the way, Hall of Famer Randy Moss held me when I was a kid?
A lot of guys on the team don't even know my dad played football in the NFL. You know, it's not something I say. It's not like, you know, you just figure it out, honestly. A lot of guys just figure it out. You know, I've been friends with Charlie Warner for years, and he just found out probably this summer that my dad played in the NFL. So it's not something that everyone knows.
You know, your father was a wide receiver. In fact, by the way, you know, everybody's big into fantasy football. Jake Reed was actually on my fantasy football team back in the day when he was a wide receiver with Minnesota. But the fact that he knows football from that perspective, how much does that help you as a defensive back?
Well, my dad, he not only knows just receiver, he knows football, period.
Right.
And so he helps me out just on football, period. And a lot of things he says, Coach Mar ends up repeating, and they don't even talk to each other. So if he says and Coach Mar repeats it, then I know it. Something has to be right. So he does a good job and just coaching me up. He lets me play my position. He's not really hard on me right now because he knows, you know, Coach Smart's got it, but he helps me from time to time on little details.
You know, I always talk about the importance of sports, and it's not just being the athletic part of sports, but it's the dealing with the ups and downs, you know, wins and losses, et cetera. And having a father who's gone through that at so many different levels, you know, certainly you can talk football as far as what you need to do from a physical standpoint and play here, play there. What about the mental approach that he probably can help you with?
Well, since I was little, I always used to be in the film room. So I used to watch film when I was little and see little things that they were looking at. So I've been falling in love with film since a young age. And so he just tells me, like, the film room is going to get you ahead of the game in the mental aspect. And it's all about knowing the plays and not all about your ability most of the time. It's about knowing what to do.
And it's interesting you bring up film because, you know, you can talk to NFL veterans and, you know, Michael Vick was talking about the fact that nobody ever taught him how to watch film and how to improve as a player. But as a defensive back, you know, you can certainly catch things on film where wide receivers that you're trying to cover, for example, can give you tips on what they're going to do just because of their mannerisms change.
Yes, most definitely. You know, you watch your third down report. People are pretty predictable on what they do. You watch different guys. guys, and it actually sets you up and to make interceptions and plays based on plays that you see the offense runs. You know, we're creatures of habit. So if I see a formation that I've seen 1,000 times on film, and I know that if they motion this way, it's going to be this certain play. And so that's what helps you make plays on the field.
2-year starter at Georgia. You know, the last 2 years, we're talking about averaging 12 wins, 24 total wins over the last two seasons. What is it like, you know, for you personally and as a team, knowing that you play for a fan base that's good, but it's not what they want? They want another national championship that has not been won since the 80s.
Well, you know, it's always good playing for the dog fans, you know, but, one day they'll be cheering you on and one day they might be booing you, and we love the dog fans of the nation, but what we focus on is our team goals and what we want. And, you know, it's a different team, but the same goals. You know, we want an SEC championship. We want a national championship. We wake up every day and we go to work with our brothers. And so that's what motivates us. That's what gets us going every day.
You know, it's interesting, people like this year, Alabama in the West, Georgia in the East, but there's five other programs that if everything falls in place that they could be at the end of the year SEC champs. They don't care. Just like what you're talking about, they tune out whatever the fans, whatever the media is saying, because if they believe in themselves and they believe in the leaders on that football team, like you're a leader with Georgia, for example, it doesn't matter what anybody else says as long as you guys believe.
Yeah, most definitely. You can't overlook an opponent, you know. I've been getting a lot of questions about, you know, are you so excited to play Bama and all this upcoming year? But, you know, we have Vanderbilt our first game. August 31st is Vanderbilt. And we got to focus on them in order for us to get down the road and get to our goals. And our goals is the SEC championship and the national championship. So right now what we're focused on is Vanderbilt.
And by the way, you may not even see Alabama this year.
Exactly.
There's three other teams in the West says, what about us? LSU, Texas A&M, Auburn. As you brought up, Vanderbilt, and of course, we're based out in Nashville, so Vanderbilt right out of the gates playing host to the Bulldogs. This whole month starting in August, getting ready for the start of the season, certainly as you mentioned, you're not thinking SEC titles are being one of the four playoff teams. Your focus and where it needs to be is on Vanderbilt, your next opponent.
Yes, and that's how you have to have your focus. Once you start thinking way down there and start counting your eggs and start counting your wins and losses before it happens, and counting your wins before it happens, next thing you know, you're down 20 at halftime, and you're like, well, how did we get here?
So close, and you go 2 years ago, overtime loss to Alabama. Last year, the opportunities was certainly there for Georgia to be that last team standing. Can you use those disappointments to fuel you this year?
Like I said before, what fuels us is our brothers and our goals. You know, losses happen, wins happen. You get 24 hours to take it all in and take all a win in and take a loss in, and then you got to move on. So right now our goals is the SEC championship, the national championship. Work hard. Me and my brothers, we got Jake and Andrew here today, and our goals is to just keep pushing, and that's what fuels us.
You talk about representing your two teammates here, representing Georgia, 42 players altogether over these 4 days, not just leaders on the football field, but leaders on the campus as well. What does that mean for you, having this opportunity to represent Georgia in this situation?
You know, it means the world to me that Coach Smart believes in me, and the staff believes in me, and believes in me and Jake and Andrew, that we're going to do the right thing. We're going to show up on time. We're going to represent the team well, and not only represent the team, represent the university.
What's the best piece of advice your father has ever given you with regards to how football pertains to your life?
Just working hard. You know, whatever you want to do, you got to work hard. And that's one of the things that he told me to do when I came to Georgia, and that's one of the things he tells me to do outside of school is, like, whatever you do, you got to work harder.
JR, before I let you go, when we look at 2019, do you and your teammates have unfinished business?
Most definitely we have unfinished business. We want to get to SEC championship. We want to win that, and we want to win that natty.
That was a lot of fun visiting with J.R. Reed, the starting safety for the Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, you talk about teams with pressure on and certainly the expectations, Alabama in the West, Georgia in the East. But, you know, when you talk about programs like that and you've had the success like they have had over the last 2 years, a combined 24 wins, averaging 12 wins a season, that's just the territory. To be in the hunt going into a conference title weekend, to be able to be one of those four playoff teams at the end of the year, that is what the Bulldogs have been. 2 years ago, they were in the national title game before losing in overtime to the Crimson Tide. And then last year, had the lead there in the second half against Alabama in the SEC championship game. And it was Alabama coming from behind to win it. So certainly this Bulldogs team, very pumped up, very fired up as far as the upcoming season. But once again, you look at their schedule. Their schedule is brutal. But look, this is not going to be easy, Jay, for Georgia to start the season coming into Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt would absolutely love to find a way to bring on the Georgia Bulldogs to send the big, you know, we talk about shockwaves throughout the college football landscape. We talk about the, you know, top to bottom, these teams in the SEC this year with, you know, they believe they can win on any given Saturday. I'm predicting now a lot of big upsets in 2019. How fun would that be if one of those to start the year would be Vanderbilt knocking off Georgia?
I mean, right out of the gate, you know, you would think, you know, Georgia would probably play like Georgia Southern, Georgia State. No, they're coming out of the gate and playing an SEC squad, and they are going up against Vanderbilt at home, at Nashville. Vandy, you know, they're looking to show that last year and the last 2 years really are not flukes. They're going to come out and they're going to try and get, you know, Derek Mason's first winning season. And why not when you got three really good players coming back with Keyshawn Bond, Kalijah Lipscomb, and Jared Pinkney, and another reloaded offense with possibly Riley Neal at QB, and then the defense, you know, that's some question marks there in O-line, but they are going to be so focused to try and beat this Georgia team, and it's not going to be a cakewalk for the Bulldogs, that's for sure, and I know that Kirby Smart, I have them ready, but Derek Mason and that squad's going to be so ready to take on the Dogs in Nashville.
You know, here's Georgia. They start, as I mentioned, here in Nashville against Vanderbilt August 31st. They host Notre Dame on September 21st. Their matchup with the Tennessee Vols will be in Knoxville on October 5th. The Florida game, November 2nd, the annual game in Jacksonville. They also have to go to Auburn on November 16th. And, oh, by the way, they host Texas A&M. So they're two teams from the West that's on their schedule, back-to-back games at Auburn, following that up with the home game against Texas A&M. Can Georgia win both of those, for example? And then, oh, by the way, a very improved, tough opponent in Georgia Tech. Before you even think about the possibility of an SEC title game, one of the things, just when you predict that, oh, it's so easy to go Alabama, Georgia, I think that's when you start getting surprises. We mentioned we even got to Auburn. We'll talk more about them on Thursday when they're part of the rotation as far as the SEC programs. But the fact that you look at the last 3 years as far as odd years, when Auburn has hosted Alabama, came away with two big wins during those three campaigns, a win in 13, the famous kick six game,
right,
and then you talk about the win in 2017 that sent Auburn to the SEC title game. They get beat by Georgia. Alabama didn't even have to play in the SEC conference championship game, and it was Alabama and Georgia being two of the four teams, yep, as far as the college football playoffs. So anything can happen, and I think this year especially so. I mean, the fact that nine quarterbacks representing the 14 teams, a lot of teams believing in their abilities, and literally there's seven teams that feel like they have the talent to win an SEC title this year. You look in the West with Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, and Auburn. In the East, you've got Georgia, Florida, and even a surprise team in Missouri with Kelly Bryant. The only thing about that could hold back Missouri, if they can't get a waiver as far as that being bowl eligible,
right,
because that's the thing where they are facing the bowl ban at the end of 2019, which means none of that comes into play. So if they can get somehow a waiver and that gets reduced, taken away, whatever, could be a really interesting year for Missouri as well in the SEC East. All right, so one of the other players we had a chance to visit with, we'll have him on the other side of the break. It was really refreshing having a chance. Talk about a young man, a redshirt freshman. He has a chance because this year, Jake Bentley, third year that he's representing South Carolina. I think he's one of only three players to ever represent their school 3 years in a row. Jake Bentley will be doing that with South Carolina. How about this? The fact that if you're a redshirt freshman, in this case, Matt Corral, quarterback for Ole Miss,
and he continues to produce, you know, who he has a chance to be in that category as well. We'll hear from Matt on the other side of the break as our coverage, day two of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover, continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still quite a bit of traffic now on 40 East trying to get out past the airport as you continue into Hermitage, Donelson, 40 westbound in that area there near Briley and the clearing stages of that accident. Traffic still very busy right now on 65 making your way south of Nashville back down into Williamson County. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fares can save you up to 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2544. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
This is the sound of a blizzard from the amazing DQ Summer Blizzard menu, with 7 flavors, like new Sour Patch Kids. Which sounds like the first home run of summer. Your first cannonball. Yahoo! Or your first road trip to the Grand Canyon. Yahoo! That's what the DQ Summer Blizzard menu really sounds like. With exciting flavors like new Sour Patch Kids and favorites like brownie dough. DQ. Happy, tastes good. Yahoo! At participating locations.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14, 41,
31. I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. Tonight, variably cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely into Wednesday. Low tonight, 72. Wednesday's high, 88. See plenty of sunshine Thursday and Friday with highs each day, 96. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Day two of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days winding down. We still have two more days to go, tomorrow and Thursday. We're on location, Radio Row, at the Hyatt Regency Winfrey Hotel. Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas A&M, all featured today as far as day two of the participation of the schools here for the SEC Football Media Days. As I mentioned, the opportunity there with Ole Miss is being one of those four. How about the opportunity for not an upperclassman, a redshirt freshman being one of the three representatives called upon to represent the Ole Miss Rebels here at the SEC Football Media Days. Here was our chat earlier this morning with quarterback Matt Corral. Matt, I've been very fortunate. This is my 12th SEC football media days, and every time there's been a quarterback representing Ole Miss, I've had them on my show. So it's been like one of these personal things for me, so I wanted you on the show. You're not a junior. You're not a senior. What is that like to be in this position as a redshirt freshman?
You know, I'm just thankful for the opportunity. Thankful for Coach Luke and, you know, the coaching staff for picking me to represent Ole Miss and the football program.
Being around the offense last year, Jordan Ta'amu, all those wide receivers, you can't help but learn just watching everybody.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Jordan did a great job of just teaching me that offense. And, you know, DK, AJ, DeMarcus Lodge, those guys really set the foundation and, you know, the mindset of what it should be to get where we want to go.
Matt, you know, you go through spring drills, but now does it sink in even further that you are now the leader of this offense?
You know, yes, sir. I've always really held myself accountable in that way, just on and off the field, thinking I was a guy, you know, because I just can't be caught slipping like that.
Is it tough when, like, the last two seasons, Ole Miss not being able to be bowl eligible? You know, they had the bowl sanctions. Now that you've got that carrot at the end of the road there, does it help? Does it provide more energy for you guys this year?
Yeah, I think that's what the team's looking forward to is a bowl game. You know, this is the first year a clean slate since, I believe, 2013 or around there.
Around there.
Yeah. You know, everybody's excited around the program, for sure.
I go back, and I was one of the individuals that thought, because of visiting with Jordan Ta'amu and everybody else, I had the buy-in factor that I thought if there was a game that Alabama could struggle in September, it would be against Ole Miss, knowing the game was being played in Oxford. Sure enough, Ole Miss gets off to the fast start. It just didn't end that way. When you look at things, do you forget about games like that, or can you learn from games like that moving forward down the road for you?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. You for sure have to forget about it, but at the same time, you got to learn from your mistakes. You can't just throw that in the trash and just not look at it. You got to know what you did wrong and see what they do and their tendencies.
I go back and visiting with Chad Kelly, and he was bringing up like the fraternity of quarterbacks that have played quarterback at Ole Miss. Do you get a feel of that too now that you're in this position?
Yeah, yes, sir. I've talked to Chad, Bo Wallace. Those guys still reach out to me and just see how I'm doing. If I need to learn anything, they could teach me. You know, they've done a great job of that.
When you hear the name Archie Manning, Eli Manning, when you look at the record books, you know their names are there. What would it mean for you personally? Because here's the thing. If you're on that list, that means also the team is having success.
I walk by that every day. It's in our film. They're going away to our film room in the hallways. Like, it's all the records, all that. And we got a big one of Eli Manning in our quarterback room. So I got to look at that every day, and it's for sure inspiring, you know, because I want that. And that's what I'm chasing after.
What inspired you to want to play your college ball with Ole Miss?
You know, Ole Miss has always been there since my sophomore year. They've always stayed in touch. And just the way the cards fell, Coach Luke reached out to me my junior year. And, you know, I took my visit out there, and I really loved it. I really loved it a lot. And I knew there was an opportunity for me to come and have a chance to play. And fortunately, I got the red shirt. And, you know, I'm really thankful about that. I got the experience for my four games. And so I got a taste of what, you know, college football in the SEC West is like. You know, I'm really excited for this next upcoming season.
Rich Rodriguez, new offensive coordinator for Ole Miss. What has that relationship been like for you since he's arrived?
Really well, really well. You know, he's a really hands-on guy. He knows the game in and out. And he's a perfectionist. And, you know, my high school, my senior year high school coach was the same way. So I respond well to the way he coaches. And I'm really looking forward to what he has, because we hit the tip of the iceberg in the spring ball. We haven't even, like, unleashed what he can do playbook-wise.
What's it going to be like for you to take the field in very first game this year as the starting quarterback for the Ole Miss Rebels?
Can't even think of words for it. I really can't.
I see that big smile on your face, and your eyes are gleaming when you say that too.
Yeah, I mean that. It's always been a dream to play college football, and you know, just finally making it happen, and you know, at the highest level in the SEC West, it's mesmerizing when you're on that field, for sure.
Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral joining us earlier today as we're wrapping up day two of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days. Still 2 days to go. Coming up tomorrow, it's going to be loud and crazy as far as in the lobby here at the Hyatt and Winfrey Hotel in Hoover, Alabama. You also have Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Arkansas, but it's Alabama, and it's almost like a football game as far as the loudness of the crowd. Tomorrow, and you'll get that too even on Thursday, because on Thursday you have Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky, but certainly the Auburn fans will show up as well, and it's one of the things that you feed off of being this close and to, you know, as far as where the lobby is, especially where we are. Because
we're 5 feet from it.
Yeah, we're two tables away from the lobby, or actually, two tables away, yeah. and so it's been a fun first 2 days. We're halfway there, but once again, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina tomorrow, and then on Thursday, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Auburn. Big thanks to all of our visitors to the show. I mean, just throwing out these names. When you think college football, you know the name Brad Nessler, play-by-play voice of the SEC on CBS. You know Greg Sankey, the commissioner with the conference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Big thanks to Crazy Charlie Sanye back in the Gaga and Cole Hall studios, making sure everything ran smoothly today. Jay Henson on location with me here. Once again, a big day. Surprises galore coming your way tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon after the Braves game. Atlanta-Milwaukee, third game of their series, is tomorrow. A day game, 1:10 for first pitch. Pre-game coverage at 12:55. On the way next, game two of this series as the Braves winners last night against Milwaukee, trying to make it two straight over the Brewers in this series after their 4-2 win last night. Don't forget Bill King's show tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the Big Joe show from 9 to 11. We'll be back again tomorrow afternoon, day three of our coverage continuing tomorrow of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover. For everybody with WNSR, have a wonderful night and make it count.